Let's give our attention once again to the Word of God, Psalm 119, beginning in verse 129, reading down through 136. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. That's where we'll end the reading of God's word. Let's stop and pray together. Father in heaven, we ask that you would shine your face upon us and teach us your statutes now. Lord, turn to us and be gracious to us. Let us long for your word. May the unfolding of your words give light to us and point us to Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And Lord, as we've just sung from Psalm 19, let the words that are now spoken be pleasing in your sight. And may our inmost thoughts be right in your judgment. Because, Lord, you are our rock and our Redeemer. And so we ask that you would help us now to listen to you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are living in dark times. We've been reminded of that recently. Many in our land prefer sexual immorality and so-called reproductive rights. Many prefer a progressive agenda that scoffs at Christianity and religious freedom and calls for more government and less self-government, less individual moral character and responsibility. They prefer officials and policies that support perversion and laziness. And under the guise of justice and equality, push an agenda that denies the truth, denies love, and denies even sound research. Closer to home, nearly 2 million Colorado residents just rejected a ban on abortion of children over 22 weeks old because violent murder of those who can now survive outside of the womb is a personal, morally legitimate choice. A right to be protected. We could go on and speak of the major economic depression that we're living in, or COVID-19 that's become another political war and just stoked division between people, and a church struggling to navigate all of this and still keep peace and make progress in it all. And I could go on and on. But the point is not to discourage us tonight, but rather to make the point, if it even needs to be made, that we are living in dark times. Many are hostile to life and to light. We live in times like Isaiah's when he said, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes." And yet the problems are not all just out there. There's darkness and sin in our own neighborhoods, in our communities. People are totally lost. They're in the dark. There's darkness and sin in the church. And there's darkness and sin remaining in our own hearts. And the question I want us to think about tonight is, how do you respond to all this? These dark times. Is there hope? Is there an answer? I think often we respond with a lack of faith, and so we respond with anger and discouragement, fear, despair, and hatred. But how should we respond? How should we live in these dark times? Well, all of Scripture, but especially Psalm 119 and the verses before us tonight, says that there is hope and there is an answer, and it's found in the light of God's Word. How should we respond? Well, we should rally to God's Word. We should cling to its promises and its truth all the more. We should be in wonder of it, in awe of it. We should also respond with compassion and sorrow when the darkness is preferred to the light. We should seek to live by the light even in the midst of darkness. And most of all, we need to look to Christ, who is the light of the world, the only light in our darkness, our only hope. And you know, our times are really not all that unique. The psalmist looked around and felt outnumbered. He looked around and saw that so many did not love God's Word, did not live by God's Word. And yet, what we see here is that his confidence in the Word did not waver. He knew it was true. He knew it was God's Word. And today, in the face of the darkness of the world around us and the sin even still among us and in our own hearts, Psalm 119 calls you to the remedy. It calls you to the purity and brilliance and light and clarity and truth and hope of God's perfect Word. It calls you to faith in Christ, who is proclaimed and offered in this Word. Brothers and sisters, God's Word calls you tonight to live by the light of the Word in this dark world. Live by the light of His Word in the darkness of this world. Well, let's consider that together tonight from verses 129 through 136. And as many of you likely know, Psalm 119 is an acrostic. It has a section of for each of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and each of them focus on the Word of God. And I want to highlight three actions that our section, the pay section, calls us to in relation to God's Word tonight, especially in light of our dark world. And the first is to behold its brilliance. We need to behold the brilliance of God's Word. Look again at verse 129. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. Your testimonies are wonderful. When's the last time you opened your Bible or you heard the Word of God preached and you thought, this is wonderful? Lord, your Word is wonderful. Why did the psalmist think that? Why did he say that? Well, first of all, because it gives light and understanding. Look at what he says in verse 130. The unfolding of your Word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. When God's Word is unfolded, when it's opened up, when He uses His Word in our life, it's like turning the light on in a dark room. It brings truth and clarity and understanding. It replaces darkness and ignorance and impurity with light. And so it's wonderful. It's amazing. And the psalmist is like a kid here with his first flashlight, who runs into a dark room and shines that light all around, delighting in its mysterious light, no longer afraid of the dark. Is the Word of God like that to you, even in a world that rejects it? Do you hold it with wonder? Does it give you courage? Is it a beacon of light and truth for you in this darkness? Or has it lost something of its wonder and brilliance for you? Sadly, there are many churches and professing Christians not really unfolding God's Word, not opening it, emphasizing and teaching it, not using it to impart understanding, but really shrouding it and detracting from its brilliance, not rightly reading and applying it, shying away from it as the world speaks against it. Many Christians are not living by its light. They've forgotten its treasure and brilliance. And may God change that. May He keep us from that. May He correct us if that is the case in our hearts. God's Word is the wonderful, brilliant light that we need now more than ever. And it's so wonderful, the psalmist says in verse 131 that he pants for it. Verse 131, I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. The picture is of someone who is thirsty. They're so thirsty, their mouth is opening and they're panting. Kids, picture a dog that might do this in the summer when it's hot. It's so thirsty and you bring it a bowl because it's panting and it drains the bowl of water so quickly. The psalmist is almost giddy for God's Word. He's shamelessly like a puppy, a thirsty puppy, so eager for God's Word, so thirsty. This is how he approached the brilliant Word of God. He longed for it. He panted for it. He drank it down and wanted more. Is this true of you? Are you thirsty for God's Word? The psalmist saw the Word as brilliant and desirable. And one of the ways he expresses that, not just here in Psalm 119, but in all of Psalm 119, is the different words he uses for the Word of God. And there are 8 regular repeated words in this whole psalm that he uses for God's Word, and we have 7 of them in our text. Your testimonies, your words, commandments, promise, precepts, statutes, and law. We don't have time to look at all of those tonight, but each of them has a different nuance and a subtle variation that speaks to the significance and brilliance and wonder and breadth and depth of God's Word. In the darkness of our world, one of the things we need to do is to simply fix our gaze and be captivated again by the brilliant light of God's Word. It needs to be wonderful to us. We need to recapture our childlike wonder and joy and amazement that we have the Word of God. Now, it's one thing to say that, to hold to infallibility and the authority of the Word of God. But do we act on that? Do we live that out? Do we pant for this Word? Do we live by the light of God's Word? Do we live as though it does contain the truth, the gospel, the good news, the power of God for salvation for all who believe? It's not enough just to see the Bible as wonderful, to just behold that it's brilliant, to just hold intellectually to its truth. We also need to live by its light, and that's what I want us to consider second this evening. God's Word here tonight calls us to live by the light of the Word. Live by its light. Verse 129 again, your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The testimonies of God are wonderful, they're a brilliant light, but it's not just to be on display. It's to be our ever-present guide. It's to be lived out, to be kept, observed. And notice the psalmist says, therefore my soul keeps them. The therefore, that word ties his keeping of the Word to the wonder of it. Keeping God's Word is wonderful because His Word is wonderful. It's not, well, I get punished if I don't keep it. No, if it's true and wonderful, why would we not want to live by it, to keep it? It is a gracious blessing and privilege to be given this word by God to live by. This is not an outward, legalistic, self-righteous keeping of God's word in Psalm 119 in this first verse. It's internal. It's spiritual. It's not merely external. He says, therefore my soul keeps your word. This is what Jesus taught on the Sermon on the Mount. Outward legalistic obedience to God's word is hypocritical. It's never the point. It's never taught in God's word. He wants a heart, a soul that follows him, that loves him. To keep God's word with the soul is to love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love one's neighbor as ourself. And the psalmist knows he doesn't keep his word perfectly. The psalmist is a good theologian. He knows his own heart. But striving to keep God's word is not incompatible with grace. Rather, it flows from grace. Look at verse 132. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. There's a plea for God's grace. And then in the next verse, he asks for God to help not let sin get dominion over him. The psalmist was just in need of a Savior and of God's free grace and God's help as we are. Be gracious and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Is that your prayer? You see, the psalmist is first focused on the sin in his own life. Yes, there's darkness and sin around him. But his first and primary focus is living a godly life himself before God. The psalmist also asks God to direct his steps by his word. Keep steady my steps according to your promise. Verse 133. He wants to be kept from stumbling by the sure, unmovable word of God as he walks in this life. He knows he's surrounded by lawless men. He's in a dark world. There are many temptations and pitfalls. There are rocks that can cause him to stumble and take his eyes off of God's word, to doubt and despair. And so he asks God to keep him on the path of his word, to keep him steady. And God's word and God's promises do this for God's people. And then in verse 134, he asks God to redeem him from man's oppression so that he could keep God's precepts. And we don't know exactly the oppression or the sin that the psalmist was dealing with. But what's his remedy? Turning to God and his word. Asking for help, seeking to walk by the light of God's word in the darkness of this world. Is that your response to sin and darkness in your own life and in the world around you, to temptation? Friends, turn to his word. Trust in God's grace, which he gives to repenting sinners through Jesus Christ. Cry out for his help. Be guided by his word. Live by its light. Here is freedom and joy and true peace and salvation, safety and hope in this dark world and in these dark times. Behold the brilliance of God's word. Live by its light. And then third and finally, we also need to weep for those lost without it. Psalm 119 would call us to weep for those without it. Look first at verse 135. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. The psalmist knows he needs God's help to live by his word, and so he prays for the light of God's face. And what is he asking for here? He's asking for God's favor and blessing. For God's grace, so that he can learn and live by his word. He wants the opposite of God's anger. God's hiding his face from him. And he's asking for this because the world around him lacks this. And it moves him to tears. Look at the very last verse in our section, 136. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. Literally, rivers of water run down from my eyes. The psalmist knows the warmth of God's shining face. He knows God's grace. He knows the blessing and freedom and joy of God's word. He has purpose and truth and light in his life because of it. And he weeps for those who do not. His heart is broken for those who refuse its light and who are in darkness, who are not keeping God's word. And we get another glimpse of how real and intense his love for God and his word is. Because he's moved to rivers of tears for those without it. He can't bear to think of them stumbling in the dark, lost without it. And it's not that he looks out in and pities them in pride and says, wow, look how bad they are. Poor things. No, he knows that he's no different apart from God's grace, apart from the light of God's face and from the light of God's word. And his heart breaks for those who know not the grace and truth and light of God's word. And really, we need to weep, first of all, over our own sin before we can genuinely weep over the world's. We always need to get the log out of our own eye first and let our hearts break over our own sin first and take that to the cross. But we do need to weep for brothers and sisters in rebellion and backsliding as well, who are not keeping God's law with the heart and with their steps. I don't think this sorrow in verse 136 is just about the world, is just about sin out there. I think it has to do with remaining darkness even among God's people as well. And the psalmist himself knows that he fails to keep God's law at times. And friends, do you respond this way? Do you respond with godly sorrow, with repentance for this in your own lives? And then with sorrow and pity and compassion when you see lawlessness in the lives of others, when they reject God's word? When's the last time you cried over the condition of the lost? When's the last time you cried over your sin? Or the sin among God's people? Or the lawlessness in our country? Because God is ignored. Because his word is trampled, it's dishonored and profaned. Because the good news is rejected. When's the last time you cried because of the judgment that awaits those without God and without hope? We can so often, so easily react with anger and discouragement. But we need to sometimes, and probably more often, we need to just weep. We need to have genuine compassion and grief and sorrow, love. Breaking God's law, turning from the light, is worthy of tears and deep sorrow and broken hearts. In fact, this is a response, a pattern that we see often in Scripture. I could give a lot of examples, but Jeremiah, for one, wept. Rivers of water flowed from his eyes. He wept when Israel rejected God and his word. Paul in Acts 17, verse 16, he didn't throw up his hands in disgust or despair because of the idolatry in Athens, but it says his spirit was provoked within him as he saw the city was full of idols. He was moved with compassion. His heart was gripped. And he went on to reason with them and preach the gospel. And of course, we see this same heart of compassion and sorrow most powerfully and most often in Jesus. Luke says that Jesus wept over Jerusalem during the triumphal entry. Another time he cried, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and yet you were not willing." Or in Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Brothers and sisters, is this how you respond? We need to respond to the darkness of our world, to those who are lost, like the psalmist, like Paul, like Jeremiah, like Jesus, with compassion, with sorrow, with a desire for the gospel to go out into the harvest, with the ability to remember that that was us, apart from the light of God's Word and His face and His grace, especially as our culture wanders further from God's Word. We need to weep for those lost without it. And in reality, what do we expect from the world and from the lost? They are lost. They are in darkness. They are without God. They do not have the truth. They do not have Christ. They are enslaved to sin, and so we must have pity. Be thankful for God's Word, the light of truth. Walk by its light, but don't be satisfied to walk in it alone. Weep for those lost without it, straying from it. Be moved in compassion to weep and pray and love and share the light. Share the light of the world with them. Well, friends, can we have hope in these dark times? I hope that you can see tonight and you've been reminded that we absolutely can. We have the light of God's Word. Brothers and sisters, cling to that light. Use this light. Walk by it. Look to the light of the world. Many today claim freedom and progress and enlightenment, the freedom and right to live how they want, but this so-called freedom to break and ignore God's Word is not freedom, it's slavery. Living without the Word is not enlightened progress, it is stumbling in the darkness. John 1 speaks of Jesus Christ. It says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, has come into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Friends, Jesus is the light of the world. He breaks through this real darkness. He is the brightest and most brilliant light that shines out of Scripture, all of Scripture. He is ultimately why God's Word is wonderful. He is the one that quenches the thirst of those who pant with longing for His truth. He is why God can shine His face on us, because God turned His face from Him and poured out justice on Him in our place. He, the true light, sets people free, gives life and happiness and peace, the right to be children of God instead of the right to live by our own ever-changing sense of morality and truth. Don't stumble in the darkness. Don't be overwhelmed by the darkness. Go to Him, the light of the world. Friends, we need to live by the light of the Word and the light of the world, Jesus, in these dark times. We need not be overcome with despair or anger, but hold fast to the brilliant, clear light of God's Word. The call to each and every one of you tonight is to live by the light of the Word in this dark world. Behold, once again, its brilliance. Live in its light. Weep for those without it. Is there cause for concern and sorrow? Is there real sin and darkness in our time? Yes, as in every time. But brothers and sisters, take hope. You have the light of God's Word. You have the light of the world. Look to this light. Live by the light of the Word and the light of Jesus Christ in this dark world. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, may we truly be able to say and to feel and to know in our hearts that your testimonies are wonderful and that your words do give light. Lord, let our eyes shed streams of tears, humble and break our hearts when we do not keep your word and when others do as well. Move us to compassion. Remind us of your grace and your mercy that you've poured out on us through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Lord, help us to open our mouths and pant because we long for you and your commands and for your Son. Instruct us in your ways. Press your word into our hearts. And let us be a light as you shine in and through us to our dark world. For we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.